So let the horn do the thing they do, y'all. Happy Friday. We're here on Express Yourself with Brian and Stacy Dickerson in the house.
Yo.
Yo. You're tuned into KDNK. It's 4:02. KDNK is your Carbondale Community Access Radio, and lucky you, it's 4 p.m. on Friday. It's time for Express Yourself, and I'm your host today, Brian Colley. And here on Express Yourself, we feature all things arts and culture and creativity happening up and down the Roaring Fork Valley and beyond. And we are officially 1 week out from the 55th Carbondale Mountain Fair happening July 24th to 26th. So we're doing an all Mountain Fair show for you today before KDNK live streams things from the park and Soper's Park. A little later on today, we're going to have an interview. My co-host, Amy Kimberly, who's out of town, recorded yesterday with the band High Step Society. They're playing Saturday night. It's a headliner. Stay tuned for that. Towards the end of the show, we're going to chat with this year's Mountain Fair shirt and poster designer, Rowan Brown, hear what inspired her artwork for this year's theme, Camp Bonedale. Speaking of Camp Bonedale, we're going to have some special guests in the studio. Stacy Dickerson's one of our special guests. Talk about the history of Camp Bonedale, so keep it tuned here for the next hour of Express Yourself, and don't touch that dial. All right, let's see if our special guests are on the phone. John and David, are you here?
We're live, baby.
Hey, John and David Teal joining us via phone. We got Stacy Dickerson in the house. Thanks for being here on KDNK.
Thank you a lot for having us. It's great to be here.
And Stacy, you are the Carbondale Arts current Mountain Fair vendor liaison.
Correct.
Longtime fairgoer.
Correct.
And on the phone, John and David, I'd love to hear. We're going to talk about Camp Bonedale. You guys are the experts on all things Camp Bonedale for anyone out there listening. And how did we pick the theme this year? But first, I'd love to dive into your first Mountain Fair experience. What was that like for you all back in the day? And Mountain Fair is 55 years, so it's been around a while. Maybe you guys have been around for a while. What was your first time like coming to Carbondale Mountain Fair?
Well, we moved to Carbondale in the summer of 76 and got there in August. We just missed Mountain Fair when we landed, and we moved into out to the ranch of Roaring Fork and started school. It was the first year that Roaring Fork High School was open, and our class was the first class to go 4 years and graduate. The following summer of 77 was the first time our family got to go to Mountain Fair. And
the fifth annual, I believe it was.
Yeah, David's right. The fifth annual.
1977.
And everything about Carbondale, we just fell in love with. The small town in the mountains, the people after a year in school, we made a lot of friends and got familiar with the town and the layout, and already spent time in Soper's Park. So the fair was overwhelming. And, you know, it turned in from the very first one with the music and, of course, the sound stage and where the band played and everything was a lot different then. But
pretty gazebo years, yeah.
Yeah, the gazebo, right. Yeah. And even back then, it drew huge crowds. So ever since that first year, it was a must do event from thereafter.
Did you guys volunteer or help build the stage at all in those first few years?
No, that was Rick Lawrence headed that up, and I was. My first Mountain Fair, I was 14, and wow. David was 13. So it was a little while before we were on board with that.
And the gazebo was many years later anyway. There was a different stage there.
Yeah.
Yeah, they would actually erect the stage every year and take it down.
Yeah.
Back then.
Yeah.
Wow.
Like the beer garden.
Yeah,
like the beer garden.
Same thing.
Wow, that really takes us back in history there. How about you, Stacy? What was your first fair experience?
It was like I was coming. It was probably the summer of 1978. And or maybe 79, I was going to school in Gunnison, and I came over to Carbondale Glenwood area to go to a party at CMC. And
nice.
Of course, we all have really great friends that were all going to CMC in the late 70s, and I just happened upon the Mountain Fair because it was that weekend, and I couldn't believe this was happening and that you could volunteer and get a free t-shirt.
Yeah.
I thought that was about the coolest thing you could do.
Hey, we still have that deal going on.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah.
So, that was 1979. I think the summer of 79 was my first Mountain Fair. So,
wow. So when did, Camp Bonedale come into the picture? How did that get started, you guys?
Well, I graduated in 1980 and was working in Carbondale at the Circle Super as a produce manager. And a lot of our friends were headed off to college or their careers would take them out of town. And we wanted a place. We always liked the real estate right between the sound booth and the beer garden. And the fantastic view of the stage.
Yeah.
Everybody loved the dance. So since we were congregating there anyway, Carbondale had the slang in the valley. A lot of people called Carbondale Bonedale. And I was talking to Stacy this morning about when we played for Crystal Valley Steakhouse.
Softball
team. Every time we won a game, we'd get a Bonedale. They had a three-shot rum drink
called
the Bonedale.
I think it was fun.
The Ute curse.
Right,
yeah.
Never mind.
Yeah, the Ute curse was five shots. But anyway,
wow.
Yeah, Stacy was, it was a co-ed, and Stacy was our ringer. We had the best female player in the whole league.
Stacy Dickerson.
She was a badass. She always been a good athlete. But we started laughing just thinking about those days. But and the camp part, I think there were camp movies and vacation and stuff. So we were happy campers, all of us. That was our, you know, we called each other. So the first year we just took a piece of redwood siding and used surveyor's lath to prop it up and put a little American flag on top. And so in 1981 was the first official Camp Bonedale.
Wow, 81. Wow.
Nice.
What's a good memory from those years of Camp Bonedale, hanging out between the stage and the beer garden?
Is that for us?
Yeah.
Sure.
My favorite part was everybody knowing. We made the bigger sign in 83, and it was about 4 foot tall and then always had a big flag on top of it, which stuck above the crowd. And no matter where you were or who you were looking for, you could track them down or find them at Camp Bonedale.
Or at least get a clue of where they were.
Right.
Like a headquarters.
Yeah, it was HQ for sure. And, you know, seeing somebody that I hadn't seen for a long time and sneak up from behind me and put their hands over my eyes and those kind of moments, big hugs, lots of love. And, you know, even if it had been years since you saw that person, it was just like, you know, you saw him the night before. The parties there when Camp Bonedale first started, you could still have a keg in the park.
Wow.
and 3-2 beer kegs. And that ended till 81 and 82, and they shut us down in 83. But I think it was a municipal ordinance that you couldn't go in the pavilion and have a keg either. But that's when the beer garden really took off.
out of necessity.
Out of huge necessity, yeah. Yeah, they knew all the alkies were about 50 feet away, stumbling distance. The music, remembering dancing with everybody, and we used to go up to Redstone during the midday Saturday and jump off the rock to freshen up.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the famous swimming hole up there.
Mm-hmm.
And or, you know, back in those days, you could almost set your watch by the afternoon thunder bumpers that would come in late July.
Yeah.
Right about 2:30, it would rain and wash everything down, and the sun would come back out and dry up, and you'd get refreshed. And, you know, that was back when Lake Powell used to be at full pool.
Yeah,
it was a lot different then. But some of those afternoon rains, dancing and listening to music, that's one of my good memories. Go ahead, Dave.
That sounds amazing.
Go ahead, Dave.
Regarding what? Which question?
Your favorite? One of your favorite memories?
Oh, of Camp Bowndale. Well, first thing that comes to mind for me was the 6 o'clock tarp duty, riding my bike across town with the Camp Bowndale sign on my shoulder, and hardly anybody on the streets, and the crisp morning air and the sunlight coming up, and that just came to mind instantly, because I was packing the sign around for years after John moved to San Diego, and was setting that up, and I just really loved that moment. It was just quiet. It was my job, and I loved it, and was proud to be part of it. And then over the years, of course, you know, everything shifted a little bit. The headquarters part was the coolest part about all of that. And you could just go there and ask questions if you've seen so-and-so or whichever the case. And and over the years, too, Drew Handy and I were interviewed on KD&K about Camp Bowndale every year, and had a lot of the same answers, which were, you know, just a home away from home and a local place that existed that felt good to everybody.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah, it sounded like a good hangout right in the middle of the park the whole weekend for everybody.
It was great. And that, I think everybody, it was just easy to say, hey, yeah, let's, I'll meet you at Camp Bowndale at, you know, 1 o'clock, and let's hang out. And, you know, all of those, it just made it so simple for a wide swath of people from Carbondale, that, you know, that sort of separated us from the tourists and other people that were coming in and out of the valley. It was just, you know, it was like this was Carbondale locality.
Exactly. The local word is what I was thinking.
Yeah,
the local spot, you know.
The essence. And it was a lot smaller town then. And our group of friends, you know, I went to CMC my senior year in high school, and met a lot of the people up there, and just how much we loved each other, how close we were.
We were.
And how tight we were. And everybody a lot of us would invite our families up just to come and enjoy that local experience, like Stacy talked about.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
One of my other great memories was building the beer garden for, I think, 9 years for KD&K.
Yeah.
And I used to get like one of three gold cards, which were unlimited beer for the weekend. And that was also close to Camp Bowndale, because I'd get, you know, 5 or 6 beers and carry them over to Camp Bowndale and share them with my friends. That kind of changed over the years, too.
Yeah, the gold card game.
But, yeah, what happened to the gold card,
Stacey? Another nice part about the close proximity to the beer garden.
It was golden.
Yeah. Totally gold. Well, and on Stacy's point, too, you know, I was tagged the camp director and did initiate the theme and the angst behind it, but it was all the people, all the friends
that made it,
that made it really special.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And it was some of the best memories that I've ever had. I still dream about Camp Bonedale sometimes.
Wow.
Oh, man.
And 50 years. Yeah. And I, and this is that article that I sent Stacy.
Yeah.
I'll send it to you. Send it to you, Brian. I also sent it to Katrina with the Soap or Sun this morning.
Great.
It was 41 years ago this week.
Wow.
Yeah, I meant 50 years since we started going to the camp. I'm sorry about that.
Yeah, we moved to Carbondale 50 years ago.
Wow.
And it seems like yesterday, and it's changed an incredible amount, but it still has Soperus. It still has the Crystal River and the Crystal River Canyon and the Roaring Fork and all of it.
Yeah, they can't take that away from us.
It's a very sacred place.
Yeah.
It's sacred to me.
Yeah.
How many years did Camp Bonedale make it through Mountain Fair? I mean, in spirit, it's still there, right? 55 years of Mountain Fair, but the actual
group. I don't know. I think it's been a couple years since the sign's been posted.
We had the sign.
The sign's been out of commission.
The sign, we had it at the 50th year, which was in 2021. We had contact with the sign then, and then it was we could find it over at Batch, which was in the old T-Joe's building.
It was on the wall there for a couple of years, wasn't it?
Yeah. And then when Batch closed down, then it went behind Drew's shop, and now it's missing. So
it's MIA.
Yeah, so we need to put a little shout out here on the radio waves to see if anybody out there has seen this Camp Bonedale sign.
Please do. It belongs to the Carbondale Council for Arts and Humanities for perpetuity.
Yeah, it should.
Really.
It should be. So anybody has any idea where the Camp Bonedale, the original Camp Bonedale sign, which has a really fascinating history, which we won't have time to go into today.
Go for it.
Well, it has John has a long story about it. That's
I want to hear it. I think we have time.
All right.
Yeah. What about the
sign?
The wood. Well, John. Really short, we remodeled a carriage house on a house in Aspen that was built in 1891.
Wow.
And the carriage houses back in those days had a coal bin in the rear of it. Well, they had boards on the inside of the coal bin and outside to keep the coal dust out, and they used newspaper behind those or between those two layers. And we disassembled that carriage house. The papers were from the Aspen Times from 1892.
Gosh.
Wow.
Well, those boards were milled from virgin timber up here.
Old growth.
So, and for those 2x10 boards to be milled from a log, those trees had to be 100 years old.
Yeah.
So sometimes in the late 1600s when those trees started growing.
My gosh.
So the Camp Bonedale sign's been in the valley for a long time.
For real. Yeah, I remember looking at that sign and thinking how interesting looking that the wood on that sign is. And I didn't know that story until Stacy told me the other day, but it's fascinating history.
Yeah, that's queer vertical grain fir. There's not a knot in that sign.
Yeah.
But the last thing that I want to say about Special Time is we created a tradition of singing the national anthem right before the slideshow, right at the very end, and when the people would straggle out and all the visitors went home,
and the locals.
The locals hung out and dug on always a fantastic slideshow of all the great photographers catching the special moments
Jim Ryan.
Of the kids and the seniors and the dancing. And all the art that they take pictures of, and it was fantastic. And I think in 82, I just stood up and was inspired to sing it. And it wasn't everybody in camp. I told them, let's sing it. And it was received with mixed reviews.
Was that because of your singing?
Yeah.
Just kidding.
But the
subject.
The next year... The next year that we sang, the whole park broke out.
Oh, cool.
And after that, after that, it was you'd come to expect it. And that was pretty magic. The sun was already down. Mm. The park was lowly lit. And
crowds had dispersed.
Most of the crowd was gone. So that's how we left it every year.
Love it.
And I hope to come back soon.
Yeah. Well, we hope you can make it someday soon, John and David, both of you. The rest of the family, too.
It's a great honor that this year's theme is Camp Bonedale. You have no idea how much that means to me.
Oh, wow.
And thank you so, so much for inviting us to be on your show, Brian.
You bet, of course. I didn't know all the history of Camp Bonedale, and I'm sure even the stories you shared are just the tip of the iceberg for what you guys got to experience those years back in the day. And we're just really proud to have you on the show and get to represent Camp Bonedale this year, for sure. Friday, Saturday,
Sunday. Of course,
Sunday.
David is a DJ alum, so we love KD&K.
Yeah. KD&K is the best, and they're going to be live streaming the whole weekend, so you can catch the music if you're tuning in from far away or streaming.
My daughter Jolene is listening to it right now.
Oh, wow.
In Bamberg, in Germany.
No well, way.
Hey, Jolene.
What time is it in Germany right now?
Hey, Jolene.
All right, well.
My little brother, that's my baby girl.
Oh, man.
Well, thanks, Dave and John, for sharing the memories and keeping the Bonedale spirit alive. And we'll do our best to carry on the torch this year. And Stacy, too.
Yeah,
Stacy's a big part of it.
I hope it goes off without a hitch and everybody has a great, safe time.
Yeah.
Don't drink and drive. Be careful out there.
That's right.
And I'm planning to drive out there still, so I'm still trying to put that one together. So I hope to see everybody next weekend.
All right, great. We'll look forward to seeing you. And we'll look forward to those thunder bumpers at 2:30 on Saturday.
Yeah, I'm going to set my clock.
I know. It better be on time this year, too.
All right.
Damn it.
Thanks, you guys, so, so much. Hope you had
All
a great
All right, guys, you guys.
We'll see you out there.
All right. Love you guys.
All right.
All right.
Bye.
Bye. Care.
Love
Bye-bye.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Oh, that was special, Stacy.
Yeah, it was really special.
That sounds like a blast from the past, and you get to be part of that.
Yeah. That's good,
amazing.
Good times. Good part of our lives, for sure.
Before we have the interview from High Step Society, we're going to play a song by them. And so stay tuned here on Express Yourself. Is this the one? I don't even know what I'm doing. This is the one. Okay, there we go. I got it. I got it out.
I am with Anthony Mead. He is producer and trombone player with High Step Society. They are playing on Saturday night of the Carbondale Mountain Fair. And, you know, their music's called high-flying, beat-dropping, big band dance party music. And I'm going to say we really like to dance here at the Mountain Fair. So it could be a love affair between you guys and the Mountain Fair audience. So thanks for taking some time.
Absolutely. I'm happy to be here and looking forward to being out in your neck of the woods very soon.
That's right. So, you know, one thing I've really noticed about your style is it is a real kind of language between what you guys are doing on stage and the audience. And, you know, there is a bit of jazz steeped in your music, and it's kind of that language of back and forth between audience and band. And for you on the stage, what is the feeling when you are playing and really interacting with the audience?
I mean, yeah, I kind of like to think of ourselves as air traffic controllers. We're just kind of like pointing the directions towards places for people to put their focus, and kind of just spinning that focus all around the room. And we send out all of our energy into the audience, and the audience, if they're into it, pick it up and send it back at us. And it just kind of all spirals up together in some crazy vortex of exalted dance party energetic thing.
I love that, exalted.
It's pretty spiritual for us, for sure.
I would think so. You guys have been, you've been a band 11 years about. And how has the band transformed? Have you been in it the whole time? What's the makeup? I feel like it changes out a little bit.
It has changed out a little bit. It's really hard to keep a group of creative people in focused in one direction for over a decade. So it's kind of taken different turns. Different personnel have come in and out over the years. I started my own kind of sister band, Sepia Tonic, around a little bit before High Step started, but both bands had the same mission, which was to combine the kind of vintage jazz sounds with the modern dance party sounds, kind of inspired by the Caravan Palaces and the Parras de l'Art of the world.
Mm-hmm.
And over time, that band and High Step Society have kind of merged with musicians that were playing with Sepia Tonic now playing with High Step, and we're kind of like both two bands of the same dream have kind of like merged into one over the years.
yeah. And you have in this particular iteration of going out on the road, are you a 7-piece band? What's the makeup going to be?
We'll be a 6-piece band coming out.
Are you bringing a female singer?
Yeah.
Okay. We like that.
Yeah.
So now trombone. I mean, it's not the usual instrument kids pick up. Did you pick it up as a kid? How'd you come to the trombone?
Yeah, in band in 6th grade.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I feel like a lot of people have to start trombone early enough that you don't recognize how terrible it sounds for you to be learning how to play it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not usually a thing that people pick up later in their lives. But yeah, I started playing. I was taking piano lessons before middle school, but then got into a middle school band, picked the trombone, and just never stopped playing.
And it's working well, yeah. And the Portland music scene is pretty vibrant. I'm not sure where you actually grew up.
I grew up around Portland.
So you did. So how has the music scene in Portland influenced you?
For the size of the city, which is not a megalopolis, it's not a gigantic city, about 2 million people. It has an incredibly deep jazz scene, and with some very, very incredible musicians. I came up studying with Ben and Michelle Medler in the Pijo community, Portland Youth Jazz Orchestra, and Sarah Memory and Jeff Compton. So, and studying with them, getting the opportunity to learn from people who had been deep in the history of jazz, studying and also playing with some very important figures in the history of jazz, and just bringing that tradition straight to us where we were studying, what I think was a very important part of my musical upbringing. And there are a couple of us in the band that have deep study in the jazz tradition, and that is where we're bringing that kind of vibe to what we're doing.
Yeah, it definitely shows up. And also, you bring in the fresh sounds of like a DJ and the bass and drum beats. And was this something that always in your brain as you were listening to music, you could hear those elements, or that's something that has evolved?
I personally was entirely against electronic dance music until I was probably in my mid-20s when I started being at these events and festivals playing with big brass band, like a 14-piece brass band, and we were and started getting exposed to electronic dance music, and eventually came around to feeling like I wanted to be a part of that scene. Nara, who is my co-producer in the project, and who was the original producer for the band, starting it, he has always been steeped in West Coast bass music and kind of dubstep scene, and his influence, that's definitely his forte within the band sound, is like bringing what he would consider to be forefront of electronic dance music into the fold for us. Yeah. But our instrumentation just kind of naturally makes us have a unique sound. You put a drum set and horns over the top of any genre of electronic dance music, and it'll kind of sound like High Step Society, even if it's something that we haven't really experimented with before.
I'll have to try that out. That's funny. So you did choose to record your last album, Depths Above, in New Orleans. And why? What were the influences that you felt coming out of New Orleans?
Well, I personally have always been deeply, deeply moved by and inspired by the music, as well as the rest of the culture, food, dance, whatnot, coming out of New Orleans. And like I was mentioning, Ben Medler, the man I was studying trombone with, coming up when I was young, he was just feeding me those New Orleans trombone players and bands. Like, listen to Rebirth, listen to the Soul Rebels, listen to that and the other Stafford AG. And so I always had wanted to spend more time in that city. And myself and Ethan Rainwater at the time were really inspired going down there in 2020, right before the pandemic hit, for Mardi Gras. And we were trying to convince the band to go down there together for years. And it finally took in 2024. We all decided to go down, shack up in a double shotgun, set up the living room as a recording studio. Phil, our drummer, was sleeping right next to his drum set in the living room. That was the jam space. Corey and I were sharing one bedroom. Ethan was sleeping above the kitchen in a loft. We were all just on top of each other, but we were in it for the art. We wanted to make the music. We wanted to be like in the New Orleans scene as newcomers, of course, but just appreciating and just basking in that beautiful city.
Well, we are very excited to have you here at Mountain Fair Saturday night. The energy is high, high, high. I saw you guys maybe just came back from Country Fair.
We just got back from the Oregon Country Fair.
There's some small similarities, but I have never been.
The whole thing is magical. I was going when I was a kid.
Yeah.
My family took me out to go hang out in the daytime, and it was a magical fairyland out in the forest.
I know. Everyone tells me I would absolutely love it. I got to make it one of these days.
You would absolutely love the Oregon Country Fair.
And you haven't even met me yet. But it is true. I would love it. So with Mountain Fair, it's a very community-oriented, created event. It's all run by volunteers for the most part. It's been going on 55 years. People just show up and make it happen. They bring their creativity to the table.
And, we love it.
Yeah, it has a great vibe. I think you'll really love it. And we have little themes every year. This year, it's Camp Bonedale. So you can be as campy as you want or camp counselor-ish. But people get into outfits and dancing and a lot of arts. So you guys are a perfect fit for this event. We're excited to have you. Have you played this area? You have played over in Paonia quite a bit through Rob Miller, I believe.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
But I don't think you've been to here.
High Step, I don't think, has been to Carbondale before. But I myself and our trumpet player, Corey, and our saxophone player, Morgan, we've all done a significant amount of touring with a band called March 4th.
Oh.
And March 4th has been so Carbondale quite a bit. I played in all the little mountain towns in Colorado over the last 15 years, and we love Colorado. It's always such a vibe. Everyone just turns out. It's amazing playing Colorado.
Oh, well, have you stayed at my house? Because March 4th quite often stays at my house in Carbondale.
I may have stayed in your house.
You may have. It's been very fun over the years. So maybe you do know me. Who knows? Well, we are looking forward to it. If people want to find out more about High Step Society, where do they go?
You can find our music on Spotify or Apple Music or Bandcamp, any of those things, High Step Society. I think we have our website running through bands in town. Mm-hmm. Which is, so all of our shows are up there, mm-hmm. on our website or on Bands in Town. Or you could come out to the show and say hi to us at the show.
Oh, good. Well, I see you're in the Moab the night before. So we're only about 3 hours from Moab. Get here as soon as you can. We want to show you a good time.
Okay.
All right. Well, thank you so much for taking time with me, and I'll see you next week.
Absolutely. Looking forward to it.
Thanks.
Sounds like a super fun band at Mountain Fair, Saturday night headliner, High Step Society. Thank you, Amy, for that interview. And we're going to keep moving along here with all things Mountain Fair. Let's see if we've got on the phone Rowan Brown. Are you there?
Yes, hi.
Hey, it worked out. I'm always nervous with all the buttons here. Rowan Brown is the designer of this year's Mountain Fair shirt and poster. Thanks so much for joining us via phone on KD&K today. Where are you calling from right now?
I'm actually calling from Moab, Utah.
Wow. Nice. How's it going in Moab?
Yeah. It's pretty hot.
Is it? Yeah, summer in Moab. It's a little hot to be there. And you live on the Front Range, is that right, normally?
I did. Yeah, I lived in Denver for the last 3 years, but I recently moved back to Moab.
Oh, okay. You're in Moab.
So I'm
great.
Actually living here now. Yeah.
Great. Okay. Awesome. Well, before we talk about the poster design you made for Mountain Fair, I'd love to just have you tell us about your creative background. I know you have some tattooing experience, but I'd just love to know more about you and your work for the listeners here on KD&K.
Yeah, I've always been just like super into drawing and painting kind of as a hobby. My mom's an artist, and so I feel like from a young age she kind of made a lot of space for me to make art.
Nice.
And I've always spent a lot of my free time just, you know, drawing and painting. And I don't have a ton of formal training. I didn't like go to art school or anything, mm-hmm. but I did spend about 2 years training to be a tattooer, which is a pretty intensive process, honestly. I was like, yeah. kind of like one of those like old school, like trade craftsmanship things mm-hmm. where you're like an apprentice and you have a mentor. So mm-hmm. I did that. And I would say that's where a majority of my like skills have come from.
Yeah. Yeah. I can kind of see that style coming through a little bit through the poster you made. I feel like that would actually be a pretty cool tattoo. If anybody at the fair, or I don't know if you're going to be at the fair this year, just hit up Rowan when you see her and you get a tattoo somehow.
It would honestly,
with the dots, the kind of stippling effect you have with the shading. There's just like some classic sort of tattoo themes going through there.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Well, for those who have not seen this year's design, based on the theme Camp Bonedale, which we've been talking about today on the air, wonder if you could talk us through some of the imagery you use and what kinds of things inspired you when you're putting together the design.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, I grew up going to summer camp, and so I think was kind of going through my mind a bit. So I did want it to be really fun and summery, and kind of almost like childlike, you know. I wanted to keep it simple.
Mm-hmm.
And I really liked the idea of it being kind of a landscape and with the tents in it. I just thought it'd be really cute and like, you know, summer campy.
Mm-hmm.
So that was kind of my main inspiration. And then, you know, I kind of like the idea of it having a bit of a like retro feel, you know. I thought that'd be kind of campy as well.
Yeah, I love all the references and then ways we can use the word camp.
Yeah.
It's got a good, you know, some variety in how we can express that word. I know there's costumes every day. I don't know if you knew that, but every day there's a different kind of camp costume. I think Friday we're doing kind of camp crafts, so people can make their macaroni necklaces and macrame outfits, that kind of thing. Saturday is going to be kind of camp couture, which is more like the high end. If you were like starring in a Wes Anderson movie like Moonrise Kingdom, you put on your really nice kind of camp scout outfit. And then Saturday we're going back to the Mountain Fair classic outfit, which is just tie dye. But there's just so many things, so many directions you can go with that word. So I love that, how you incorporated some of that in the design. And you have kind of a tug of war, I think, is that in the middle by Mount Sopris?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. I thought that would be fun. I know that that's kind of a Mountain Fair thing, so I thought it'd be fun to add that.
And then I'm trying to remember, there's like horseshoes in the corner, which is a contest we have. And then some birds flying around with the kind of the banner with the 55th annual year. So, yeah, well done. You've been to Mountain Fair before I'm assuming?
I have not.
Well, hope you'll be there for this year.
I will be, at least I'm planning on it. And I'm friends with Emily, who works at Carbondale Arts, and I've been told about it quite a bit. Yeah.
Awesome. And I'm super excited to see all the different variations on the design on the shirts and all the Mountain Fair merch. I know Laura Stover, shout out to Laura Stover for helping out with that. It's kind of a big deal when you're creating a whole line of shirts based on your design there. What do you think that's going to be like to see people just wearing your design all over Carbondale? That's kind of
honestly, it'll probably be pretty shocking. I haven't thought about it a ton, but it is kind of a lot of pressure. I suppose tattooing has set me up well for that because people have to wear that the rest of their lives.
That's true. I didn't think about that. This is a shirt you can put on and take off, but that's funny. The artist last year, she'd been at Mountain Fair. She was a vendor, but an artist. Making little flags and printmaking things, and her experience, she was just kind of overcome with emotion watching people come up to her and say hi, because they knew how to find her in the fair. But it's definitely a trip to see your design repeated over and over endlessly through one weekend. So prepare yourself, Rowan.
I will.
Anything you're looking forward to this Mountain Fair weekend? I guess since you've never been to Mountain Fair, there's probably a lot to look forward to.
I mean, I'm really just excited to see the whole thing, and I am excited to see like how the design looks on different shirts and different merchandise and stuff like that. I feel like so grateful and lucky to have won. Like, I didn't even, I don't know, I just very randomly submitted my work, and I'm super excited.
Well, and I should mention there is a poster design contest that we announce kind of in the late winter, I would say, through Carbondale Arts. If you're ever interested, for those listening, to enter your artwork. This year we changed the rules a little bit just to give some more money to the artists instead of just asking artists to design something for free. We wanted to give everyone a little bit of a stipend just to propose a design, and we're happy. I think we had 10 finalists, and you were one of those 10, and then we have a supervisor committee kind of reviewing all the designs, and fortunately for Rowan, it worked out, and I think you get a cash prize, and then also you get to pick, I think, some shirts out of the tent over the weekend. So hopefully that's a good deal, and then fame for the rest of your life as a Mountain Fair artist. So congrats again, Rowan, and look forward to meeting you. Hopefully we'll get a signed poster that we can frame up to put in the Carbondale Arts collection for years to come.
Yeah. Definitely. I'm planning on being there.
Yay. How can we learn more about you and your art? Do you have a website or Instagram we can follow you?
I do have an Instagram, and my handle is at Rowan Sedona. So RowanSedona.
Awesome. Great. Well, I'm going to put some more music on and look forward to meeting you next weekend. Hope you have a great fair experience. It's kind of a lot to process, especially when you're the artist, but I believe in you. And way to go. We all love the design at Carbondale Art. So thanks for all the hard work.
Yeah, thank you. I'm looking forward to being at the fair.
All right. Stay cool out there in Moab.
Thanks.
All right. Take care, Rowan. Bye.
Okay, bye.
Thank you.
Thanks for keeping it tuned here to KDNK Express Yourself this Friday afternoon. We have one more surprise special guest here in the studio. How's it going? Introduce yourself, please.
You're
from Leadville.
Yeah, I'm Kristen King. I live up in Leadville, where we are currently dealing with the Willow Fire, which started on June 28th. And I am evacuated and sheltering here in the Carbondale area with some friends. And that's awesome, but unfortunately, it means that I am not going to be available to sing the national anthem for all of the Leadville Race Series events, which are officially back on. They are officially back on, unless the fire takes a big turn.
Wow.
But I'm not going to be there to sing the national anthem.
Wow.
So I'm excited to be here.
And we're going to have you sing the national anthem, which is great because we were just talking about the national anthem earlier on this show with the Camp Bonedale history of singing the national anthem right before the Sunday slideshow. So what a day that you're here.
Perfect.
How did you get into this role as a national anthem singer in Leadville?
I have been a singer my entire life. I love musical theater. I just love singing. I love karaoke. And I also love the race series. That is what brought us to Leadville. My husband is an endurance cyclist, and he's started the race 6 times. And we just loved it, and I wanted to do something to participate. I am not an endurance cyclist. So I reached out and, you know, asked if they'd be interested, and they said yes. So this is my 4th year singing for the race series.
Yeah. That's a long time.
Yeah.
Well, you've had some practice to sing that song a bunch of times then. What drove you to singing that song in particular and, like, being the opener for all these races? Was it just a love of the competitiveness and the spirit of, you know, America at its, like, best, I guess?
Yeah, I think that's actually a great way to put it. I am like an ultra racing super fan.
Mm-hmm.
It's not something that my body can do, but the mental fortitude, the attitude, the consistency, the dedication, the resilience that goes into people tackling 100 miles at elevation is just so inspiring to me. I cry at the finish every year, even if I don't know people there and cheer for everyone. It's just, it really inspires me.
Wow. Well, I would love to have you sing us out of Express Yourself today with Kristen King here to sing the national anthem. And we'll see you all at the fair next week for Mountain Fair in 55 years. Take it away, Kristen.
Oh, say can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight, o'er the ramparts we watched, were so gallantly streaming, and the rocket's red glare, the bombs bursting in air, gave proof through the night that our flag was still there. Oh, say does that star-spangled banner yet wave o'er the land of the free and the home of the brave?
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Amazing performance. We'll take you out with NPR.
88.3 in Aspen.